Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
There's an old exercise I used to do with the youth groups I worked with, where, you know, I'd sit down often with a Lutheran youth group, sometimes with kids of different denominations, and would ask them, so what is it that you can do to make God love you more? And immediately, it never failed, without a moment's hesitation, these kids had been well taught, they would say, well, nothing. There's nothing we can do, pardon me, I should have said, to make God love us less, because we know that God loves us with an eternal love. And then I would follow it with the question, of course, what can you do to make God love you more? And then the list would come out. And then you'd hear this silence, and there'd be this pregnant pause, and they'd say, well, I suppose I could read my Bible more often. I could come to church more often. I could witness more often. And you'd start to hear this list of things that they knew they somehow ought to do, and they knew somewhere inside that if they just did those things, then that would make them better. That would then make God love them more. Much of what passes for Christianity today, especially popular Christianity, is the same old lies repackaged again. That if you just do more, if you just do enough, then somehow in the end that will be enough. If you just read your Bible more, if you just come to church more often, if you just witness more, if you come to seminary, study harder, do more, be more, achieve more, then God will really love you. Then you'll be a good Christian. Over Christmas break, we went to church in some other denominations, some other places, and my middle daughter walked out of a sermon and remarked to me on the ride home that the pastor had spent the entire time talking about what it meant and how you behaved and what you did if you were a good Christian. And she said in her incredible wisdom as a freshman in high school, I don't even know what those words mean when you put them together. Good Christian, what is that? I don't even know what that looks like because I keep screwing it up. And that's the truth, isn't it? That deep down we know that. We know we're not enough. We know that we keep messing it up. That even in those moments when I think I've nailed it and I've got this whole Christian thing down, with my next breath, I give lie to that. And I stumble and I fall and I reveal how broken I am. And I'm back where I started. And so when we hear a text like this morning's text from Deuteronomy, it can be just a little bit difficult to approach. Because my inclination as a preacher is to come to you and to say, well, look, the text says that we need to care for the sojourner, for the fatherless, for the widow. That the text says we need to make sure we feed them, that we leave food behind, that we leave a place for them, that there's all of these things that we need to do to be the people of God. And as a listener hearing a text like that, that reflects on the importance of the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow, my inclination is to say that I need to do more. That somehow I'm not enough. And what it leads to is this sort of desperate kind of charity, this desperate sort of giving that demands results, that goes to the person in need and says, I need you to get better, be better off. I'm going to help you, not because I really care about you, but because if I could see that improvement in you, then I'll know I've succeeded. Maybe I'm not as broken as I'm afraid I might be. But of course I am. On the other side of that, perhaps worse, I suppose, we start to think that maybe we are enough. That maybe we really do have this whole thing figured out, and we've got enough boxes checked on our little spiritual checklist that maybe at this point it's time to start helping those who are less fortunate. That maybe I can come to you from above, and it's this charity that begins with the fundamental assumption that somehow I've got it all together, and that I'm intellectually superior to you, morally, spiritually, and I can come from on high. It's a charity that gives because it knows enough and it has itself enough together that it knows how to do things right. And that's not true either. Of course, God knows this. He made us. He knows us inside and out. And so he speaks to the people of Israel, and he says, when you start to approach others from above, when you're caring for the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow, remember that you were once slaves. That there was a time in Egypt when you were slaves. You were in bondage. And when you start to approach others from above with that sort of attitude, remember that where you began. And when you are beaten down, when you are not enough, when you cannot carry the weight of your own guilt, remember that when you were slaves, I redeemed you. And that's where we live our lives. And in between those two places, that place of remembering our slavery and remembering our redemption. Think what that looks like. It's actually revealed in the story I was told about Mr. Breakbush, actually. Some of you may have eaten his chicken at some point. He was asked at one point in his life before he passed a few years ago, why is it that you do this? Why do you give so much chicken to the seminary? Why do you spend the time and the energy and the money involved in giving all that away? Why would you bother? It just frankly doesn't make good business sense. And as I've been told the story, Mr. Breakbush, after a moment's thought, said, well, because I've got chicken. See, the question for him was not, am I going to give? Am I going to care? Am I going to reach out to those in need? The question was, what do I have to give and how will I get it there? That's the deal. We're not reaching out to others to improve them for our sake or to prove ourselves or because we've got it all together. We reach out to one another and we love and we care for those around us. Neither from above nor below, but as broken and redeemed slaves who have found mercy at the cross of Christ, who have been given a new name in baptism, and who now hear the command of our God to go and to care. Remember who you are. Remember who I have made you. Because I have redeemed you, you will give and care and love and share. Not because it's what you're supposed to do, but because it is who you are. You are beloved. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You who were slaves are free. Amen.